Mr. President, I'll make a motion. We come back into regular session from executive session.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Come back into regular session from executive session. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We're now back in regular session. Mr. Moore, any possible action on executive session items?
No, we just discussed the items that we went into executive session for. There was no action needed at this point.
Okay. We're now at time for our public hearings advertised this afternoon. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This time I'm going to read the rules of procedure for County Council zoning hearings. When Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendations made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, Council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless Council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. There is a sign-in sheet there as well. Please sign that sheet. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, Council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, Council will do likewise. And the first hearing we have today is conditional use 2017 for Eli and Victoria Zachariah. Mr. Lank.
Yes, thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 22,500 square feet more or less. Property is located northwest of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24, 365 feet southwest of Spencer Lane, the entrance into Hart's Landing subdivision, with a 911 address of 20336 John J. Williams Highway, Lewis, with a tax map ID of District 334, Map 18, Parcel Number 7. The public hearing with the Planning and Zoning Commission was held on June 11th. The commission was advised that we had received survey site plans with the application, we did receive comments from DLDOT, Sussex Conservation District, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. When we opened a public hearing, the chairman asked if anyone was present on behalf of the applicant. There was no response or appearance. There was a consensus of the commission to continue this application to the end of the public hearings. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the chairman again asked for if anyone was present on behalf of the applicant. No one responded or appeared. There was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the lack of any record of support, since no one appeared on behalf of the application And that motion carried 5-0.
Did you know George A. Hill?
I will advise that on July 9, 2015, the commission discussed the request of the applicant for reconsideration, which was based on a letter. That's a new ordinance policy that allows for council or the commission to reconsider application for just cause. I read Mr. Zachariah's letter and the attached memo from First State Orthopedic referencing Mr. Zachariah's health conditions. Commission discussed the request. Mr. Wheatley stated it appeared that the reasoning for Mr. Zachariah's failure to appear should be considered as just cause for his absence. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to grant the requested reconsideration. That motion carried 5-0. Mr. Robertson stated the application will have to be re-advertised and rescheduled for public hearings and shall be considered for the first available date. I note that Mr. Zachariah is not present.
Today.
We can't hear it.
Well,
anyway. No, I had to do that part.
Right.
Well, we did consider that. We had scheduled the public hearing today.
Right.
The commission had to vote on whether or not we could reconsider for their hearing.
Yes.
But that did not affect our hearing because our hearing was properly advertised for today.
Right.
And so if the applicant is not here to make their presentation, then there would be no record established. Mm-hmm. And at this point, they have not had their hearing before planning and zoning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it.
So, now, the question, Mr. Moore, would be they sent a letter to planning and zoning as to why they were not there.
Yes.
And that was accepted as a rational, as a real reason to be that, not put on attend that day.
That is correct.
They got sent us a letter also then now?
If there is no one here today, they would have to send us a letter and explain why they were not here for our hearing.
Same thing with the commission.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, one thing I did note in the comments after the discussion on July 9th was that Mr. Robertson stated that the application had to be re-advertised and rescheduled for public hearings, and I don't know if Mr. Zachariah took that as being both public hearings or not.
Okay, since your notes indicate that it was read in the plural, indicating that may have been for today's as well. So the applicant could have had that feeling that it was being advertised for today's as well.
Sure. So, and I would note that staff had prepared the advertisement for the new public hearing. The new public hearing advertisement includes two dates, one for commission, one for council.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll take care of it.
In light of that fact, if the council would desire, since this is a new process that we're going through, and maybe because of the verbiage that was used at the planning and zoning hearing where it stated hearings, and there is notice being sent to the applicant and going to be publicized, and the staff had even thought that if this hearing was being rescheduled, then possibly that notice go forward and the council defer until that re-advertised hearing. That would be one option for the council.
Do we have anything that we have to say to account for that? Or do we have to have...
I think that what we would state is read the short title. We would indicate that due to the fact that the planning and zoning hearing, there may have been an impression given that it was being re-advertised, and in fact staff thought that it was to be re-advertised, that it go forward with that re-advertised date.
So we will have a second hearing.
We would have a hearing then.
So will we close this hearing?
I think it would be safer just to defer this one until the date of the next hearing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was to be advertised for August 13th with a commission and September 2nd, I believe, with a council.
Okay.
So there's no one here for public comment from the applicant.
22nd,
right.
Sorry.
22nd.
Yes.
So we could just ask the short title be read by Mr. Moore, and then we will entertain a motion
to defer
until the
re-advertised hearing.
Hearing.
Right.
Yes. Moore?
an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for a multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 22,500 square feet more or less.
I'll move to defer.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, to defer until the next advertised public hearing.
Yes.
That is correct.
Second, Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, Mr. Lank, if you could make sure that it's clear at future planning and zoning hearings that if this were occur again, that it would only be that hearing that's re-advertised.
Yeah, right. I understand.
Thank you.
I just was reading from the text of my own minutes. I didn't even realize it said hearings until just a few minutes ago.
That's understandable. And the next hearing is
CU 2018.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Lang?
The next application is conditional use 2018. The application of David Clark Langford. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a sporting good business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 11,473 square feet more or less.
Excellent.
Property is located at the southwest corner of Thorpe Road, being Road 534 and Brown Street, and also at the northwest corner of Charles Street and Brown Street, with a 911 address of 9636 Thorpe Road, Seaford, with a tax map ID of District 331, Map 6, Parcel Number 89. Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on June 11th. During that public hearing, the commission was reminded that the applicant did provide a survey site plan of the application site. The survey depicted the existing improvements on the property. We received comments from and reported that those agencies that commented were DelDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. The commission was advised that the staff had received a letter from Robert Harding and Betty Harding in opposition to the application with reasons. David Clark Langford was present and gave testimony on his own behalf. Mark Allen was present as a property owner in close proximity, voicing support. We had four parties present in opposition to the application. They gave testimony. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. There were concerns expressed by the commissioners that the area is predominantly residential, especially on the interior streets, that it has been established that there is significant public opposition, that the sale of firearms in a residential subdivision should be a concern, that parking appears to be an issue, and that parking may not be adequate. On June 11th, on 2015, there was a motion second and carried unanimously by the commission to defer action for further consideration, and that motion carried 5-0. On June 25th of 2015, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend denial of conditional use 2018 for David Clark Langford for a conditional use for a sporting good business, based on the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the purpose of this conditional use is to operate a small gun shop on the applicant's residential property. Site is located in a residential area with no other businesses in the vicinity. The proposed use is not compatible with the surrounding area. Two, the property is undersized for any retail use, and the existing structures on the property are not configured for adequate vehicular access or parking. Three, the use of the retail gun shop is more appropriately located on property that is already zoned for that purpose, such as commercial C1 or CR1 zoning properties. There was testimony in the record that there is existing vacant commercial space nearby that could be utilized for this use in more appropriate locations. Four, there were several parties that appeared in opposition to the application expressing concerns over compatibility with the neighborhood, traffic, security, and the nature and condition of the applicant's property as reasons to deny the application. Five, there is not an adequate basis on the record for granting this conditional use application in this location. Therefore, there was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Ross, carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 4-0. For the record, since the public hearing, I'll pass down a copy. We did receive at council, and I have a copy to pass down, a copy of a petition containing signatures of 87 residents who signed a petition. There were 73 homes that were visited. 5 residents declined to sign a petition. As a result, 93% of the neighborhood residents contacted supported denial of this application. And what you have before you is a copy of the cover letter, a copy of the public notice, and then several pages of signatures of those in opposition to this application.
And that survey or petition, who ran that and gave you the figures?
One of the residents, Doug Burns, wanted to sign the cover sheet.
Okay, all right, good.
Any other questions for Mr. Lank? At this time, is Mr. David Clark Lankford available? Will you come forward, please, and present your application?
Good afternoon. I'm David Clark Lankford, 9636 Stark Road, Seaford, Delaware. I propose an open small gun shop in my garage. And it's like I said at planning and zoning, I don't want anything big. I'm not going to let anything get big. I also have drawn up plans that conform to Sussex County as far as parking. And I also have several documents.
Yes, present this, Mr. Lank, please. Then when you come back to the podium, you might want to describe what is in the documents.
I need multiple copies of the same thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, for each person.
Okay. There's 5 copies. I need one back when we finish.
Yes, sir.
Copy on top, I've already spoken to Mr. Lank about that, and I have an understanding with him as far as what goes on with that. All of the neighbors that spoke in opposition at the June 11th meeting, one of the things that they mentioned that everybody seemed to be concerned about was my illegal Maryland tags on my vehicles. Okay. The next thing you'll see is a letter from the owner of the company that owns the vehicles. Page 2, yes, has a lot of drawing on it. I am no architect. The measurements are correct. If you look at it, I have a small shed behind my garage that you can see on your original survey that I saw you guys passing around earlier. I propose to take that shed out. That will allow me 3 legal parking spaces there and also 1 in the back on my property. Mr. Truitt, who was in opposition to me on the 11th, mentioned that there are no shoulders on any of these roads. That is incorrect. By DOT standards, Brown Street and Charles Street have got shoulders. And if you refer to the group 2 pictures of Charles Street, the red dots are my property line. You can see the roadway. Between my property line and the roadway are a legal described shoulder in DOT. And the same thing with Brown Street. If you refer to the Group 1 pictures, those are our 2 vehicles, company vehicles that we drive. I parked them there so that you could see that there is adequate space for 2 parking spaces up there, and over to the left, a private parking place. I also propose to move the carport, take it down. that will allow these vehicles to be moved forward and will be able to pull out and pull directly through my driveway onto Charles Street. It was also mentioned that I did not have a pull-through, drive-through driveway. I do. As of right now, there's no business in my home. So yes, I park in the middle of the driveway. If the conditional is granted, I have adequate parking elsewhere. And the following pictures, pick 1, 2, and 3, show the same thing as far as parking. And as you can see on the right, on pick 3, there is adequate room for 2 vehicles to park and to still be able to drive through to the back street. Pick 4 shows my 20-foot vehicle parked alongside of the shed that I propose to remove. That is the proposed third parking space. 2 more to this side of it. And I pulled in that space from my driveway where that arrow is. And I also backed out of that space onto my property. Pick 5 shows a picture of the same vehicle in the same position. The measurement is to the edge of my pavement, not the property line, which gives adequate room to back out and then proceed in a forward motion to the street. Pick 6 shows the front of my vehicle. As you can see, it's lined up with the back of my garage, which is just behind to the other side of the shed. That's where the fence would be moved to. By moving the fence there, it does not affect my septic system. It's not on it. And also, the same section of fence in the front is the one I propose to move farther into the yard to allow for a parking space on my property within my property lines. That also does not affect my septic system.
Okay, so
that to me was really the only pertinent things that I heard from the June 11th meeting were the comments that were made by the residents nearby. The only other question I had that I didn't get to ask Mr. Lang is when I originally filed my application for this conditional, I was required to give the names of the landowners 200 feet within my property lines. Was I wrong in assuming that within those 200 feet were the neighbors that I would be dealing with as far as this condition goes? Or am I expected to also be dealing with all these people on this list of names that you have in the petition that live up to and over 0.2 miles from my property line?
To answer your question, yes, you were wrong in assuming that it was only the people 200 feet. The council does that as a courtesy to notify the people who are most directly affected, so it is required on the application.
It was also mentioned June 11th that I live in a subdivision, possibly restricted. I do not live in a subdivision. Your own mapping department, when I went down and had the printout done, says that I am not in a subdivision, I am a rural lot in Sussex County. Now across the street from me is 3L property, across Brown Street, which is a restricted subdivision. Okay. Within 300 feet of my property line, there are 7 businesses operating today. What they're considered to be, I have no idea. One gentleman does mechanical work. Another gentleman has a cabinet shop and a jukebox repair. There's a taxidermy shop across the street from me. To the right of him, from my property, there's an upholstery shop. Directly next door to me, one of the people opposing me runs a tool business from their home. A contractor down the street, and there was a previous conditional use granted for a retail business within the distance that Mr. Hearn has gone to get signature. And That one was owned by Van Miller. Across the street from me, the Friedels used to have a boat shop. When I was a child, I remember going over there and talking to Mr. Friedel. At that time, from what I understand, that was a commercial property. The gentleman that is there now that owns that, the house is burned out, and when he first got there, he ran a pallet business from that property. And since, from what I understand, he did away with the commercial and just made it residential. And that's about all I have to say.
Okay, just so that I'm sure, you're indicating in your proposal that the storage shed and the carport that are depicted on the original survey would be destroyed or moved, removed entirely from the property.
Correct.
And the fencing as shown would be moved and relocated from the property.
Yes.
Okay. And you're based on what you've testified, the what shows as a paved drive actually goes from Charles Street and through where your current carport is and clear out to the next road.
That's correct.
Okay. Are there any questions from any of the councilmen?
Yes. Thank you for being here, first and foremost. I do have a question regarding, you just mentioned that some of the surrounding properties are already running home-based businesses.
Correct.
So
that have not had conditional uses or any type of hearing, because I went to planning and zoning and had Rusty run all of them, and the only one that I spoke of that has ever had anything was Mr. Van Milligan.
We have a map of an aerial map in our application here. So I'm wondering if the applicant would have the ability to see it on our TV screens and point out these other properties that are running businesses that are surrounding his. Do we have that ability to do that?
Boy, don't look to me.
I don't think they've started that.
No.
Yeah.
Not quite yet?
I think it's imminent.
Okay, so...
If you look at my property, 86, I believe it is.
I think 80, well, at least what I'm looking at, I'm seeing number 89.
Directly across the street is a taxidermy shop in a large barn-style metal building.
I tell you what.
Okay.
I'm coming down.
So the council can see what we come around the side.
Yes, are you able to pull the microphone over?
There we go.
Sure.
So this is your, is that your property?
That is my property.
Why don't you go to the screen that shows the properties lined out versus all those woods and stuff there.
I'm sorry?
This screen right here is much easier to follow.
Oh, that one? Oops.
Taxidermy studio, burned out house that was originally commercial. It used to be a boatyard run by Mr. Friedel years ago when I was a kid. The gentleman that owns the property now, Mr. Wilson, he had it changed over. The property next to that on the right, 9403, that is the upholstery shop. Down below that, across the street, 273.01 is an LLC and a toll business that has now a large marked van in the driveway every day. Okay. Down on, I believe, 75 or 74, no, 75, there is the guy that does automotive work. In his yard. He has several untagged and junk vehicles in the yard. Across Middle Ford is a jukebox repair, and they are also in a subdivision. This is Friedel's subdivision, which the tool business is in. Van Milligan's is down the street here. They are a restricted subdivision.
Okay.
The one across the Middle Ford Road, the jukebox, and they're on the same piece of property, the two separate businesses.
Okay. Okay. Any other?
I do understand security was also something that brought up. Now, we've always had problems in our neighborhood up till lately with break-ins, thefts. Probably most of the people sitting back here behind me have had a problem and had the police at their house numerous times. We haven't lately. The reason for that is I finally found out who these youngsters were and did everything I could to have them locked up. They were tied into the same ring that was stealing all the irrigation wire from Billy O'Day and all them guys. Out of that, they also found 13 guns in an attic in Bridgeville. That same gentleman. It was a big ring. It was a mess of people. And since then, we've not had any problems in the neighborhood, not that I've been made aware of. And I am alarmed. And I have safes.
Any other questions from council? Do you?
All I can say is I hope you got those guys that steal the water off the irrigation. Because that's cost us a lot of money.
Yeah, they were living right around the corner there in Woodland from Billy O'Day and Gundry and all them. They found the wire there, and that guy took them around and showed them what they stole, and he was also part of the ring that was stealing the guns. And out of that, they made all kinds of arrests. They prosecuted one person,
I started
15-year-old.
Saying, yep.
That was it.
I know of another person that they stole some wire from and didn't do a thing with them.
I do have one
yes.
further question,
yes,
if I may.
Thank you.
Mr. President, may I?
Certainly.
I'm reading here from your letter to Mr. Link,
yes.
Dated May 15th, whereas you are requesting permission, it appears, to go ahead and sell your sporting goods through the Internet.
That's correct.
As you were waiting for this day to
That's
occur.
That's correct, because the ATF and the Department of Justice will not issue an FFL. This is what they're telling us. They will not issue the FFL because Sussex County requires several things to be in place before that happens. First I heard of it, I've called every agency in Sussex County. This is the first I heard of it was from the lady from DOJ. Nobody in Sussex County at any of the official government agencies can tell me where this came from.
Huh.
They require that planning and zoning is approved to do something out of your house. A fire inspection, copies of several documents, LLCs and all that, which, by the way, all that was taken care of long before we put the application in, including insurance coverage and all that. Everything was covered before I ever went to June 11th meeting, everything. I would have stated that June 11th, but I was really caught by surprise, to be honest with you, about Mr. Hearn's speech. But yes, all that was taken care of.
To get a FFL license, FFL requires, or ATF requires, that they have a letter from the county or whatever jurisdiction
Correct.
It's in, whether it's county or town or whatever, that it complies with the zoning regulations.
Yes.
Mr. Langford was already in the process of applying for his conditional use. I would not give such a letter saying it's in compliance because you got to go through the public hearing process.
Okay. Mr. Lank, he had mentioned several other businesses. Were you aware of those other businesses in the area, or were they home occupations?
Off the top of my head, Mr. Milligan went through the public hearing process for a conditional use years ago, and I'm not
correct.
Don't think he's open now, but it was for a gift shop. Some of the gifts that he sold, he prepared, he and his wife prepared his crafts. He did change that to another craft-type business, which is a picture framing business. He did that for a while, but I don't think he's in business now. The other one he mentioned was Mr. Friedel's property. That was there non-conforming before zoning. I remember that myself as a kid, so he was right on that one. I'm not sure about the others, but I'm doing some research. There may be valid home occupations. I'd have to do research to find the letters, or they may be businesses that just didn't ask and started the auto repair. That's definitely not a permitted use that could be granted home occupation.
Okay.
I tried to write them all down. I'll have staff do a search and a review.
Okay. Any other questions from council? If not, is there anyone else? Do you have anything else to add, sir?
No.
Okay. Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here that would like to speak in favor? If not, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Yes, come forward, please.
I'm Richard Wade Truitt. I live at 200 Marion Drive, which is about a block away from Mr. Langford. The street side of me is Pine View, and Charles Street intersects with that. As far as the shoulders that Mr. Langford says is there, I know with DelDOT there is a right-of-way on everybody's property. In that area on Charles Street, Brown Street, Pine Street, Pine View, it does not look like there's any shoulders, so no one probably would park there. In fact, some people have shrubbery out to the edge along Charles Street. I do not feel, I congratulate Mr. Langford in trying to open a business. I'm for people going into business, but I do not feel that this is the area for it because it is basically a residential area. They are narrow streets. Fork Road is a narrow road which has heavy traffic because of Walmart, Lowe's, Food Lion, and the shopping center. Middleford Road, which is in the south side of us, has heavy traffic, commuters, and people also going to these businesses and into the town of Seaford. There are two gun shops that I know of personally within probably approximately a mile from our location. There was one in the same building that one has reopened that the guy was killed when he was leaving the business one night. We do not need to bring any more traffic because people walk Charles Street, Pine View, and everything. And just recently, I've been seeing a gentleman, I gather, pushing his wife in a wheelchair down Charles Street, down Pine View, and then down the side of Middleford Road. There are people that walk dogs, kids, and everything that comes to travel down there. Also, I am in the fire department, and we have had several accidents at Brown and Thorpe Road, which is the corner of Mr. Langford's property. I just do not feel that we need to add any more traffic. His parking situation, he has improved it, but is that enough for that? How's he going to control whether it's one, two, or a dozen people that show up at his business? I don't think he can, and I don't feel, and I know my immediate neighbors do not feel that we need that type of business or any type of business there. As far as the businesses he's talking about, if there, some of them are there, there's very little traffic at all that I have ever seen. And I'm around that area quite a bit because I have a relation that lives about one block on the other side of Mr. Langford. It's my opinion that we do not need any type of business like that in our neighborhood. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like that would like to speak in opposition? I see someone else coming forward.
Good afternoon, I'm Doug Hearn. I live at 9610 Tharp Road. I was the one that canvassed the neighborhood and gathered the names on the petition. And there's room for everything in Delaware, and there's a place for everything in Delaware. But a pleasant residential neighborhood is not a place for a pawn shop. It's not the place for a liquor store. It's not the place for an adult bookstore. And it's certainly not the place for a retail store that sells guns and ammunition. especially when it's out of the back door of a private residence. And, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? I see someone else coming forward.
Property. My front door and living room face his property, and I'm just not interested in a business out my front door. It's as plain as that, especially gun sales and ammunition sales. I just don't think this small neighborhood needs that. I also am the person he's speaking of that has a business in their home. My husband has his own business. It's called Sussex Superior Tool Sales. He gets a permit from Sussex County every year to run a mobile sales, tool sales business, and that's exactly what it is. He leaves every morning in his van. He sells to car dealers, mechanics, anywhere and everywhere, and he goes around Maryland, Delaware. But he does have permitting for that. But there is no business out of the home. He does his business through the van that he drives.
Okay.
That's basically it. Do you have any questions for me? I live within 200 feet of him. My front door opens to his property.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak, sir?
Working on their vehicles out front. They had a vehicle parked there for quite a while with a farm vehicle tag on it. I don't know where his farm is, but there's a certain amount of mileage between there and that truck. As far as the Maryland tags, everyone else in this state usually comply to having Delaware tags. I think it's cheating the state of Delaware when people live as their primary residence and they live in another state.
Okay, we're trying to focus on the land use aspects of it, so whether it's traffic, off-street parking, those kind of issues.
Well, the parking, I have had, equipment trailers with large equipment trailers where he's taken up most of that shoulder, and some of them being parked in the road or blocking my mailbox. And I also didn't want to turn this neighborhood into a business district.
Okay. Thanks for your time. Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, at this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if it's council's prerogative, close the public record.
We'll close the public hearing. If it's okay with council, we'll close the public record.
So
moved. Ask Mr. Moore to read a short title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a sporting goods business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 11,473 square feet, more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
Yes. Move to adopt.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole, to adopt conditional use 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I'm voting against it, and the reason is what I read from and heard from the Planning and Zoning Commission, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 reasons.
Mr. Cole.
I agree also with the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendations for denial, the residential nature of the area, is of importance, I think, to size the property. It's very limited in what you should be able to do there retail-wise because of lack of space. It also would increase the traffic in the residential neighborhood, and therefore is not compatible, so my vote would be no.
Mr. Arlett?
Well, Mr. President, I'm not convinced that I have enough information to make a decision today, to be honest with you. I personally would like to have Mr. Mr. Lang to look at the neighbors. I think there has been information brought before us regarding some of the surrounding properties being home-based businesses, and I think he's already agreed that he does not have all the information with respect to that. So for me, before I can truly make a properly educated decision, I would like to have all the information before me. And so for today, I don't think I have that information before me today.
Okay.
To be able to make a decision. So
so you're going to abstain from voting, I assume, then?
I will, with the aspiration to defer this decision.
The voting's already taken place.
I understand that. So we have Mr. Arlett is a abstention. Mm-hmm. Mr. Wilson?
I'm going to vote to defer it.
We can't vote to defer it. You got to vote to approve it, deny it, or?
Abstain.
Abstain from voting.
Abstain.
Mr. Wilson's going to abstain from voting.
Same reason.
Okay. I agree with planning and zoning. What concerns me greatly is a residential neighborhood with a gun shop and ammunition sales. I do not think, as planning and zoning state, I don't think that's a place for a gun shop and ammunition sales. So I'm going to vote no, a motion defeated. Next.
Okay, the next matter is change of zone 1775. Mr. Lang?
Yes, this is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district and a GR general residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 12,394 square feet, more or less. Properties are located at the northeast end of the dead end of Lighthouse Road, being Road 203, 1 mile north of Cedar Beach Road, being Route 36. The 911 address was not available. The tax map ID is District 330, Map 5, Parcel 7.04, and Parcel Number 8. Planning and Zoning Commission found that the survey of the property was provided by the applicant. We heard comments, or we did receive an exhibit booklet from the applicants. We heard comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, Mr. Allman and Tim Willard, Esquire of Fuquay Urey and Willard Professional Association, were present and gave testimony. Mr. Willard gave reference to the exhibit booklet and the suggested proposed findings of fact. Mr. Allman affirmed Mr. Willard's presentation and comments. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone number 1775 for Charles Allman Jr. for a change in zone from AR1 to NGR to CR1 commercial residential based on the record and made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the property is currently used as a seafood packing wholesale company. It has been used for these purposes for many years. Two, there are several commercial and marine uses in the area. Rezoning this property to CR1 commercial residential will be consistent with these nearby uses. Three, the existing use is more compatible with a CR1 commercial residential zoning than the current agriculture and residential zoning of AR1 agriculture residential and GR general residential. Therefore, the zoning is appropriate. Four, the rezoning will not affect neighboring or adjacent properties, traffic, or area roadways. Five, no parties appeared in opposition to the rezoning application. Six, any change in use of this property will still require site plan review and approval by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Therefore, there was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to Sussex County Council with the recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. For the benefit of the record, I do have three exhibit packets which you can share. Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
Right. Any questions from Council? If not, Mr. Willard.
Before I begin, I just noticed I have, you might be able to pull this up, Tom, with your new technology. But
no, we're not that.
Looks like we're about to get dumped on.
We are right now.
With red and yellow, yeah. Before I get also, it was nice to see that you had trash on your agenda today. Sort of a pet peeve of mine. I don't know what y'all talked about.
We're doing great. We have food constable.
I do have, my name is Tim Willard with Fuqua Yorian Willard. I represent Charles Allman, who's the principal in That's Right Fresh Seafood, who is owns this land, which is the subject of the application.
I do have some expert booklets here.
Oh, thank you. Members of council, this is Charles Allman. I don't know if any of you know him. He has the business there that's located in a very special part of Sussex County. It's the northeastmost corner of Sussex County, and it's where the Mispillion meets Cedar Creek, and it's the Mispillion Inlet. And if you've never been out there, I suggest you check it out. It's sort of the end. Yeah, I know Miss Deaver has. It's sort of the end of the earth up there. And Charles, who I've known for many years, has done some work for him. He's actually been coming there since the 60s. He's 53 years of age. His dad used to come down there when they lived in Pennsylvania. They crabbed, they hunted, they fished. In fact, right up north of the inlet, I think when he was down there in the 60s, there was maybe a little farm on the north side of that, where the red plovers, horseshoes come. And our application today is to ask you to change the zone to CR1, which in many respects is a little less than what's going on there now as far as a permitted use. For years, his property there has been used as a wholesale fishing packing area where commercial fishermen would come in. You know, maybe once upon a time they were menhaden, but then they were weak fish. Mm-hmm. Now it's more crabs, conch, and he's really the only game in Sussex County, if not in the southern Delaware Bay, that's helping keep our commercial fishermen alive because they have a place to sell their seafood, which he then sells to New York and Baltimore and Delaware too. Although we don't need our conch down here, and I'm been told by him that crabs are better than they have been in a long, long time. So just FYI, that's what's going on at the property.
No samples today.
No samples today.
That's not very good.
Several weeks ago, I sampled a bushel of crabs, and they were, I can testify, they were pretty good.
So you were paid for this?
He paid in crabs. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very rare that I send Mr. Allman a bill. So anyway, I'm gonna kind of run through my booklet, even though some of it is stuff you already know. Just set the record. I think ultimately it's appropriate because we're asking for CR1. You may say, why are you? He doesn't have any immediate plans to change the property. Mm-hmm. The property is only one of the lots is the one closest to the shore where the building is. It's zoned GR, and it's only approximately 7,000 square feet. The other one is a little larger parcel, and it's 7,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. And that's where he keeps his trucks. You'll see some pictures of that. But it's also where a tower is, a metal tower is. It's an old, antiquated tower that both the state and the federal government has an interest in it, even though it's worthless. So just to tell you that by way of background, there's some efforts underway to maybe take it down because it may be dangerous. But he's asking for this change of zone, basically to give it a zoning with more in line with what is there and what maybe he needs to do in the future if he ever was going to change it. If you were to trend the commercial fishing business in the state of Delaware, its future is not necessarily encouraging. I hate to say that, but that's where it looks right now. So he's trying to keep his options open. And in fact, even though he has this non-conforming use, to some extent, CR would be a down zone to the extent that's a permitted use under industrial or marine, perhaps. So that's sort of the reason why. If you look at my tab 2, it shows an overhead picture. And I apologize for the technology. Maybe next time if I ever come back here, I'll start putting stuff up on the screen that is a little more flashy and better to see. But anyway, that's an overhead of the property. And you can see the two lots there, the smaller one and the bigger one. And the smaller one has the house there. And I blew it up a little further out so you can see where Cedar Creek and the Mispillion comes in. Tab 3 is just a survey of the proper showing you where it says United States of America. That's now Mr. Allman's property. That was formerly theirs. He bought it from them. And you know, this all evolved in his career because he used to work on the docks down there where there used to be a ramp on the north side of this little point where you dumped your boat. Mr. Moore might know where you used to dump your boat, and he used to help boats come in and out of there, grew up there, and eventually he's somewhat of an entrepreneur, so he ended up having the means to purchase this property and bought it. Changed the block building to a pole building, but used pretty much the same footprint there. So, and there are a couple docks where crabbers and other guys go out of there. And inside the warehouse, if you went in there, there's refrigeration and a little bit of packing facility. And I think why this is appropriate is what we see around the area, a variety of different uses. First is the DuPont Center, which is an educational place, where the Miss Billion Light used to be. There are a lot of school buses come in there, and they educate them on the environment in the area, the horseshoe crabs and the various birds. So I've given you some information on the DuPont Center, which is his next-door neighbor at the end of that cul-de-sac. That sort of cul-de-sac is a dead end. And that serves as a science-based education interpretive facility. We would like to submit that commercial activity is also part of that education. The government is also in the area with one of the largest ramp facilities in the state of Delaware, which is just up the street from him. So there's a lot of recreational and perhaps some commercial use of that ramp. And that's virtually almost his next door neighbor. There are a few properties in between one residence and then some more marsh and then that ramp. And I've submitted there so you can learn a little bit more about it if you don't know about it. It's a new Cedar Creek boat ramp. And when I say new, it was 2012, where Governor Markell said this project put Delaware to work building a new facility that now provides anglers and boaters with improved access to the Delaware Bay. Boating and fishing are virtual components in Delaware's tourism economy, supporting nearly 60,000 jobs in our state, said Tom Carper. Cedar Creek has long been one of the busiest boat launch locations in the state. Replacing the old ramps with the attractive fishing eco-friendly facility is a smart investment. The point of my including that is obviously you're interested in the adjacent property, and we think this is important because it shows that his use kind of complements that, or other commercial use that's related to the waterfront would complement that use. There's also a lot of launch facilities. So I've included Cedar Creek Marina, which is right across the Cedar Creek. That just describes what they do there. Mm-hmm. The Coastal Launch Service, as you know, Delaware River is a pretty busy with freight and cargo. There's ancillary activity which supports that and causes jobs in Delaware. One of the largest launch services out of there. So they take groceries and various things like that to the ships out there, and they're located nearby. And that's pretty intense commercial activity. These are larger ships. If you ever see them going out there, it's pretty busy. Point being that commercial activity would be consistent with this area. And then I have the other bay launch service that's located in that area, and that's in fact the one that's a little more intensive. The other one is slowed down. And then I have pictures of Mr. Ullman's trucks located right next to the property. Del Ducks weighed in and said there's no need for a traffic impact study if it will change to commercial because it's already being used for something equally as intense as that. I've included proposed findings, which are consistent with what the Planning Commission decided, where they were unanimous and decided right after the meeting that the property is currently used for seafood packing wholesale. It has been used for this purpose for many years. There are several commercial and marine uses in the area. Rezoning this property to CR1 commercial residential will be consistent with these nearby uses. The existing use is more compatible with CR1 residential than current agriculture and GR. The zoning will not affect neighboring properties. No parties appeared in opposition in any change. Even the reporter left, so. Any change in the use of this property will still require site plan review, so.
Okay. Any questions from council?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Lighthouse Road, I know it goes up and kind of goes right into this property. Is the road still going right into the bay? Does it go?
No. Charlie, maybe you come up and describe it.
Describe it a little better because I know how people get used to a certain thing. And
It's basically a dead end. I describe it as a cul-de-sac with the tower kind of popping in the middle of the cul-de-sac.
Where the nature center.
What does it look like? Charlie, before you answer his question, you've heard my representation of city council. Are they true and correct? That's your belief?
Yeah. Yes, everything is correct.
figure that out.
Hold question.
What about the road coming into the
property? Yeah, like how, yeah, come like goes right into the property.
It comes in, and as you see, where
tab two, first page.
It ends right at the property.
As right before the pole barn building, actually Route 203 ends. That there's a marsh there, a side of the building. Mm-hmm. We're going back out the road. Yeah. Right at the edge of that marsh is, I have a tractor trailer sitting there. But that's actually the end of 203. So mm-hmm. when you come into there, you spill into the parking lot and
I've been there.
Of the nature center and there. So the other part of the road is right away into the property, the tower property.
DuPont Nature Center owns
the parking lot.
All around in the back, okay.
Yeah, and there are a couple of cottages, like say cottages, fishing cottages, mm-hmm. just that circle that area, and probably the legal analysis would say have a right of way to access them. Mr. Bowman has that property around there where he can keep his truck, which is actually his property. So.
Okay.
Is that
your
boat? That's your boat in the water there? On the dock?
I didn't see the picture of the property.
Oh, there's a dock.
One or two of them might have.
On page tab two, I'm looking at a dock.
That's my small crabby boat.
Okay. You need a crabby boat.
They're when I was up there, a couple bigger commercial boats that are over 30 feet.
So you're already in the business.
Yes.
No. And do you ever have complaints from the neighbors about smells of any kind?
No, we don't process anything mm-hmm. there. So if it smells, it's bad. I mean, it comes okay. right in off the water. We have ice machines. We wash all the fish. It goes in boxes, and it gets picked up by a truck mm-hmm. and goes.
You don't have to clean the fish?
No, we don't okay. do any cleaning, shucking.
Mm-hmm.
Smells like money?
More or less.
It's a very clean place. It's a very clean place.
Any other questions from council? Mr. Willard, do you have anything else to present? Okay, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if it's this prerogative of the council, close the public record.
Yes.
We'll close public hearings. Okay, mm-hmm. the council close public record. Mm-hmm. Ask Mr. Moore to read the short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a GR general residential district and a GR residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 12,394 square feet, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning as reasons 1-6.
Pleasure, Council.
Big motion to adopt the orders.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant change of zone 1775. As read by Mr. Moore and with the reason to state about planning and zoning in their public hearing. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, I think it's a good idea to have it zoned. The CR1 kind of goes better with what's actually going on there. And, of course, I go with planning and zoning's decision and the same reasons they gave.
Mr. Cole.
Yes, I'll vote yes because I believe it just brings into compliance. It historically has been used for that purpose. And this will make it legal in our county ordinance.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes, per the recommendation of planning and zoning.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on P&Z.
I also agree with planning and zoning conditions, reasonings, and I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Mr. I'll President.
Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Don't give her any free crabs.
Yes, do it.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes, it could be a conflict.
Yes. Motion carried. We're now adjourned. You are too much.
Yes, I'm